Prime Co. versus City of Mequon, Mr. Braithwaite. Where's Mr. Braithwaite?
I'm right here, Your Honor.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Ryan Braithwaite, and I'm an attorney representing the appellant cross-appellee City of Mequon. In November of 2000, PrimeCo Personal Communication Limited Partnership, which I shall refer to as Verizon, applied for a conditional use permit to construct a wireless communications tower at the Beautiful Savior site in the City of Mequon. Beautiful Savior is a church located in an area zoned institutional public service, but it's surrounded by residential areas and is itself essentially a complement to residential zoning. Several hearings were held in 2001.
But it's not zoned residential.
No, it's zoned IPS.
So what else could be built there?
Churches, hospitals, high schools, similar kind of complementary institutional uses, but not full commercial.
Well, and if you had high schools and hospitals and so on, you'd be bothered by a 70-foot pole?
Well, it's possible, Your Honor. I don't know if you mean a pole that was a cellular tower or a pole that would be a part, naturally, of a hospital. But I believe in this case...
What difference does it make?
Well, I think it makes a great deal of difference to the residents that have to look up and see the pole.
Mr. Braithwaite, I wish you... the evidence in the appendix cited in the city's brief, and what I saw was mostly evidence that indicated that the tower would not have a negative impact on the welfare, aesthetic or otherwise, of the community. So what substantial evidence did the city present about the aesthetic problems posed by the tower / flagpole? Because the city claimed that it provided this ample evidence.
Well, Your Honor, primarily this case is, we believe, is about an issue of a policy decision between levels of coverage. But in speaking to the aesthetic impact, there was testimony from several residents in regard to the potential impact. There was testimony from aldermen and a member of the board with regard to the impact of towers. And really, I think what it comes down to is the basic preference for non-residential location as expressed in the original tower proliferation ordinance. Very similar, in fact, to the stated policy of the City of Delaware.
It would be a lot stronger ground if this were zoned residential. How tall is the church?
That, Your Honor, I do not know.
Well, isn't that rather important?
Well, it may be, but it's not in the record.
Well, I don't know. Well, this is related to Judge Rosen's question. Where's your evidence? What if the church is 70 feet high?
Well, as a practical matter, that would certainly have an impact on the aesthetic impact. I can see how some residents
I don't see any evidence of an aesthetic impact. It's a flagpole with a flag. You know, most people like flags. So what's unsightly? I don't understand.
Well, actually, the flag aspect makes the entire installation visible over a much greater area, and that was a point.
Well, if you don't want a flag, I'm sure they'll be happy not to fly a flag since they want this electronic transmission. I think the flag was in deference to the aesthetic. So it would be better without the flag, just a pole?
Well, that was the conclusion that Evans reached in his report in a footnote to it, basically indicating that although he thought this was a low-intrusive facility, that the irony of it was that by placing a flagpole on top of the monopole, you would actually increase the distance at which it was seen.
Do we really have no idea whatsoever as to how tall the church is? I mean, if it's a one-story, a two-story, an eight-story?
Well, anecdotally, Your Honor, I believe I've driven by the area and I would estimate its height to be less than 70 feet, but beyond that, I really can't say.
What is it, Catholic or what?
That I don't know either, Your Honor.
Well, if you don't want the flag, I'm sure, as I say, if the flag is your problem, they won't put up the flag if you don't want that. They don't care about the flag.
Well, that's certainly...
make it better.
That's certainly a possibility. I don't know that it's ever been proposed without the flag, but it's quite possible that they would be willing to accept it without the flag.
Well, I mean, really, obviously, they don't care about the flag. And I'm the flag business. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is this issue related to the fact that, and I may not have understood when you made a comment on it earlier, because this particular church or the zoning classification for what you described as complementary residential, because it's in that area, it wouldn't be permitted in the residential area, a tower like this. Is that correct?
I believe that the same basic zoning criteria apply whether it's IPS or residential. That is that it's a conditional use permit, but it's not an automatic use, and so it has to go through the same process, I think, whether it's residential or IPS.
So it could be put in any zoning category.
I don't believe that it is allowed in every zoning category, but I guess I can't speak to every single zoning category contained within the city ordinance.
Suppose for a moment that the city had accepted the proposition that the North Shore and Homestead sites were not technologically feasible alternatives for Verizon, but had decided nonetheless that Verizon didn't need a tower at Beautiful Savior either. In other words, that 37% coverage was enough. Would this be a valid policy decision by the board? In other words, that its desire to protect the welfare or aesthetics of the community is more important than increasing coverage beyond 37%.
Well, I would have to say no, because the ordinance expresses a balancing between the preference for co-location and the understanding that coverage, you know, is a desirable goal. And so in that respect, if you take away the ability to co-locate, then, I mean, that's the fundamental basis for the decision that the commission reached, that the alternative sites were available. And really that, and the evidence that supports the distinction and levels of coverage is really what I see as the substantial evidence that the decision relies upon. It is not so much the aesthetic impact, and the decision was not framed in terms of aesthetics.
Well, wait a second. If there's no aesthetic impact, there's nothing on the other side. Then the only consequence of your ruling is to deny, you know, equal competitive opportunity to Verizon. What's on the other side?
Well,
if you have a preference for co-location without some reason for the preference.
Well, I believe that is probably expressed. Number one, obviously aesthetics were discussed.
No, you just said aesthetics isn't the factor. So I'm asking you, what is? What is on the other side? What supports the city's position?
Well, I didn't. If I stated that aesthetics was not an issue, that was not what I meant to convey. What I meant to say was that the preference for co-location is itself based on a belief that towers are inharmonious with the residential area, and that was expressed when they passed the ordinance that, you know, that takes care of
it. But it's not a residential area, so someone could build a 20-story hospital or a high school with all sorts of, you know, towers on top for electronic, you know, reception or satellite dishes and all sorts of ugly things. So I don't get it.
Well, you'd have a different situation. I mean, you're dealing specifically because we have a special ordinance, section 3.166, that specifically deals with wireless facilities and attempts to reconcile local zoning law with the mandates of the Telecommunications Act. And so these applications proceed under a different analysis than any
but
other.
What sense does it make? In other words, you're saying, you know, unsightly hospitals, high schools, tall flagpoles, whatever they want to have, that's fine, because this is an area zoned for institutional uses. But a flagpole, for some reason, is terrible. What's the rationality of that distinction?
Well, I don't know that we can assume that 20-story hospitals or other sites that may be conditional uses in an institutional public service area don't have their own limitations in terms of height or other considerations that may be related to aesthetics.
Well, do they or don't they?
I don't know.
It's your ordinance.
Well,
you don't know what your zoning ordinance is. So surely these councilmen, whatever they were, the Planning Commission, I mean, the Planning Commission didn't say anything about, well, we don't have to worry about other tall, unsightly things in this institutional zone because our ordinance has provisions for that. Apparently, it either doesn't have it or nobody knows about it.
Well, I think that the ordinance was a factor of a recognition that tower proliferation in the city of Mequon was increasing over the years. I mean, this is not a...
And what's the evidence of that?
Well, there's testimony from the aldermen as well as members of the board in regard to their own experiences on the Planning Commission dealing with other towers. You have the approval of another...
How many towers are there in Mequon?
I do not know, but it's certainly more than just the Verizon Tower. They speak of, you know, being a late entrant into the market, that there were numbers of other service providers in the area. Verizon
itself... Are there photographs in the record showing this proliferation of towers?
No, but there is discussion by residents and members of the Planning Commission also in regard to...
Look, you go out and you hire an expert, and the expert says Verizon needs this to achieve coverage and quality of service. And against that, there's the loosest kind of, you know, stuff. Towers proliferating, no numbers. Nothing about the height of the church, nothing about other institutional unsightliness that might occur in this zone. So what you're doing, you're really saying is whatever these Planning Commission people say is it.
Well, no, I think that the Planning Commission relied upon the data presented by the experts that said
The experts were all on the side of Verizon, or they showed concretely there would be coverage problems and there'd be quality of service problems. My question is, what's on the other side? What's on the other side is planning commissioners who don't indicate what kind of ordinance restrictions there are in other institutional uses and who talk about proliferation of towers without saying whether there are 3 towers in Mequon or 100 towers.
Well, you know, I believe that the city is entitled to express a preference for siting cellular towers.
Well, how about some evidence, something concrete to support there? I mean, so, you know, some of the transcripts of your planning commissioners borders on the incoherent. You know that business about the emperor without his clothes? What is going? I mean, is this a rational consideration of a serious commercial request?
Or
is this just, you know, small town prejudice of some sort?
No, I believe that they definitely considered, you know, the merits of the
request. Well, what would you pick? We have this long, you know, transcript of this Planning Commission meeting. So what would you pick out as some, you know, solid piece of evidence against this thing?
I think one of the terrible hurdles that you would have to cross is the fact that the commission didn't make any factual findings that there would be some adverse impact on the value of neighboring property or that, you know, the health, welfare, or safety of the community was in jeopardy. And
well, I think, Your Honor, that the Plan Commission saw its role as trying to balance what it saw as an inherent problem with tower proliferation with the technical data, which suggested that there were varying levels of coverage available, and that while Verizon presented an application for what the experts concluded was the best site, that there were alternatives that did provide coverage. I don't believe that any of the experts ever indicated conclusively that interference was an absolute prohibition to these other towers. And really, I think if one looks back at the record to say that interference was a primary issue when the discussion was always focused on the levels of coverage.
Well, what good is coverage if you have interference?
Well, you know, I don't think that Verizon...
calls and all that?
Well, certainly, you know, one wants the best possible cellular service available, but are we going to say that, you know, that the industry is entitled to put towers where it can get absolutely the best, or are we going to try to balance...
Well, balance is fine, but you need something. I mean, who is Mr. Leonard?
I believe he's a commissioner on the Plan Commission.
So what's he talking about when he says, I think talking about these things as flagpoles is the emperor and no clothes, because they're not really flagpoles. And to put a flag up on them is a part of the stealth language that we're using to try to make things acceptable.
I believe he's talking about the nature of the stealth facility as being more than just a flagpole in terms of its dimensions. It's considerably wider than a traditional flagpole, which adds to its visual intrusion.
Under the, in the face of the Telecommunications Act, could you really restrict where those towers are erected, starting all over, given the fact that you've already, as you say, proliferated it? Could you zone in a way, create a zoning plan in a way that they would be outlawed in most areas?
Well, I think that if you were to do that, you'd get into situations where you have a ban or, you know, prevention of the provision of wireless services, and you run afoul of a different aspect of the TCA. Certainly there have been
cases... Well, that
was
my question. I mean, could you do it?
Well, I think, you know, it's a fine line. You could certainly attempt to do so, and to the extent that, you know, the record would demonstrate that services were available and that towers were able to be constructed in whatever designated areas that you indicated, I think you'd be all right. But to the extent that you were to, you know, only say towers could be located in one particular area and it was completely impractical in terms of the geography, then I think that the provider would have a serious issue to raise.
How many other cell phone companies are there serving Mequon?
I would, based on my own experience, I would guess there are 10 or more.
Is nothing in the record on this?
Not specifically. There is certainly anecdotal evidence of people talking about other towers and other providers, but not. There's no specific statement where somebody says, as of right now, we have, you know, 12 towers and three of them are Verizon and two of them are, you know, Sprint, and one of them is a different company.
Where is Mequon?
Mequon is located about 10 miles north of Milwaukee.
So it's a sort of a suburb? Is that
yes.
A suburb?
It's on Interstate 43.
Yeah. That also has, and along the interstate, requires more towers as well, doesn't it?
Traditionally, my understanding is that...
That's probably a question we should ask you.
Yes, I will defer to Verizon on that issue, but my understanding is that their initial goals were to construct networks along interstate highways. Thank you.
One last question. Did any of the other cell phone service providers participate in this proceeding in any way, write letters or testify? Or?
No, there was absolutely no evidence in the record regarding what other services existed other than the anecdotal.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Braithwaite. Ms. Schill?
Morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. I'm here today on behalf of Primeco Personal Communications, doing business as Verizon Wireless. The issue is framed by the City of Mequon was whether it could make a decision regarding an application for a wireless communications facility and, by calling it a policy decision, somehow shield it from the scrutiny under the Telecommunications Act that's provided for in statute.
You know, I'm wondering what weight may a city give to aesthetics? Like, can you give me an example of the sort of evidence that you think would constitute evidence substantial enough to allow a city to conclude that a tower is harmful to the aesthetic welfare of the city?
Certainly, aesthetics is one of the areas in which lay testimony is most relevant. I can't imagine how you would have truly expert testimony on the issue of aesthetics.
Really?
My neighbors would say, I don't want that tower. I mean,
but what would happen is an expert in to explain.
The issue of aesthetics is so personal. In this case, I think you would have had to have a substantial number of residents, business owners, people who live either across the street from or next door to the church or close to the parking lot, which is where the flagpole would have been constructed, to come in and say, present pictures, to say, this cannot possibly be the kind of facility we want in the city of Mequon in this particular type of location.
Did you have any testimony like that at the hearing?
No, not specifically directed to
residents
such facility. There were two or three residents who did speak at one of the hearings, I believe it was the June hearing, who opposed towers in general but didn't offer any specific criticism of this particular application. Verizon Wireless did submit a series of pictures that were simulations of what the flagpole installation would look like from various points of view. Those are in the record in Mr. Klingman's declaration.
There are not too many that think they're aesthetically pleasing, are there?
I'm sorry?
There are not too many people who think those poles, towers, are aesthetically pleasing, are there?
You mean the type of flagpole that Verizon...
In general, the towers that have been erected all over the country.
No, in general, those are not perceived to be particularly pleasing to the eye, which is why Verizon Wireless and many other of the providers have gone to this new generation of cell facilities, where they're contained within church steeples where possible or in a completely... enclosed within a flagpole. This is a 9.5-inch diameter flagpole, and the height was to be 70 feet. Verizon Wireless had originally proposed 100 feet, which would actually have accommodated two additional carriers down the road, and it was reduced to 70 feet at the request of the commissioner. So to the extent there's an issue of encouraging co-location, Verizon Wireless is all in favor of that. It looks to co-locate wherever possible because it's less expensive for the provider and it's easier to get the applications through in front of the municipality.
This was an income opportunity for that church, right?
It was. Yet we leased the space.
A Lutheran church.
A Lutheran church. Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church. The application... Oh, excuse me.
I can't. Forgive me. But once the city has its data in hand regarding the coverage level, can't it do as it claims it has done and make a determination that its citizens will be better off with somewhat lower coverage but a more pleasing environment? I mean, isn't that the kind of substantive authority that the TCA left in the hands of state and local government?
The TCA certainly left some authority in the hands of the state and local government, and each of these decisions on each application that they receive is to be guided by the local land use law. That local land use law in the city of Mequon does not relate to the coverage percentage that can be achieved at any given location. That's why they allow for the hiring of an expert. And that's why they requested an expert in this case. They wanted expert guidance on the technical issues that went along with these siting decisions so that they could make what we assume they wanted the expert testimony, that they could make a well-reasoned decision. And the evidence is undisputed that, number one, coverage is not the only technical issue. It's one of many. So that even where a map may show that a particular site achieves a specified degree of coverage, it could create other negative problems such as interference and dropped calls and poor voice quality, and it actually degrades the system at remote points. when these sites are placed too close to each other. That testimony is unequivocal and undisputed.
What's the range? What was the range for this? I mean, I don't know how big Mequon is, but aren't these towers much broader than the city itself?
The networks are composed in a basically a honeycomb shape, such that each cell needs to be equidistant from the next.
I guess my question is, was this for the benefit of the residents of Mequon or a wider area?
This was primarily for the benefit of the residents of Mequon as well as those traveling through. It was just off of one of the main arteries in the city, Mequon Road.
So really, that's what you were building it for. I mean, there wasn't a big hue and cry from Mequon, but you had travelers on the interstate or whatever who were dropping calls.
Right.
And couldn't have access.
Exactly. And the two proposed sites as alternatives by the city were placed not equidistant from the closest sites, but too close to other pre-existing sites, which causes all the problems that are well documented in the record.
Now, is this highway through the city of Mequon, or is it outside the city of Mequon?
Highway 43, which goes north and south, does go through the city of Mequon. Then Mequon Road is an east-west main artery, which goes directly through the city.
So the city did have an interest in it as well.
Absolutely, and the city's residents.
But also travelers on that road.
Also travelers, business owners, retail customers, retail owners. There's a lot of, while Mequon has a lot of residential areas, it certainly has a lot of commercial areas as well, and this particular site was just off of one of the main arteries.
Does the record show, or do you know how many providers there are for people in Mequon?
The record doesn't show that. And in this case, this is not a case about whether wireless services were being prohibited. We have never taken that position. The sole issue with respect to the decision is whether it was supported by substantial evidence.
Well, that was my hypothetical. I mean, given in the face of the federal act, they couldn't prohibit it, but it depends what kind of zoning they could to adapt to try to put it in places where it would not interfere with residential or other.
Right. In this case, wireless facilities have been deemed conditional uses in every zone except for wetlands and floodways. So to that extent, they've made a policy decision that wireless communication facilities are not inherently inconsistent with any zoning area except for those two.
Except for the environmentally sensitive areas.
Right, exactly, where the tower
is probably...
Which shows
who has a stronger lobby.
Yeah, right.
Mr. Braithwaite noted that the flagpole was, or the pole, was much larger than the traditional flagpole. Is there such a thing as a traditional size for a flagpole? And B, does the record talk about any of this?
I don't know the answer to the question of whether there is a traditional size. In the record, the facts are that the flagpole as originally proposed was to be 24 inches in diameter, and it Verizon Wireless...
That was for the 100-footer.
That was for the 100-footer.
Yeah, because obviously the higher it is, the thicker it has.
Except that Verizon Wireless did locate a manufacturer who could both reduce the width to 9.5 inches and maintain 100 feet in height, even at the 9.5 inches. So as proposed, the flagpole would have been 9.5 inches in diameter. There's nothing in the record to indicate how that compares to a, quote, traditional flagpole.
Now, the coverage problem, your competitors, do they have a tower somewhere nearby so that they can serve this part of Mequon?
It's my understanding that there's a sort of a circle in this particular area of Mequon where a lot of people have some coverage issues and some static issues and other... The record is not clear on that. It was not a part of the analysis that was conducted by the city, and it wasn't what they asked the experts
to analyze.
Well,
maybe that's what they're nervous about, that if you get to put your tower up here, then the other providers who are having quality of service problems will come and say they want to have, and the Lutheran Church will say, well, fine, we'll have a forest of flagpoles.
Well, certainly that may have been on their mind, which is exactly why Verizon Wireless could go up to 100 feet and accommodate two additional carriers from the right. same location. But the city didn't want that. So they asked us to reduce it and yet contend that their concern is co-location.
There's testimony that one of the high schools had a light pole. What's the difference between a light pole and a flagpole? I mean, we're not talking about light. Yeah, what's the difference between a light pole and a flagpole? Just a light on top of a
One of the alternatives proposed by the city of Mequon was for Verizon Wireless to investigate using a very tall, I don't know the exact height, but a taller light pole that was pre-existing at Mequon's high school, Homestead High School.
How tall was that?
You know, I don't think that's in the record. I don't know.
So you're saying there are already poles in this area, because in other words, there is a high. So the church is not the only institutional use in this zone.
That's right. In fact, in Verizon Wireless's appeals brief, we listed from the city's code the various conditional uses that have been approved in institutional zoned areas.
I was curious just what actually is there.
Yeah, both North Shore Country Club and Homestead High School, which were the two alternatives suggested by the city, are in a zone that is the same zoning as the church. All three sites were zoned institutional with the public service
all these
overlay.
Places that are mentioned at page 51 of the appendix, they're not all in Mequon, are they? I mean, like Whitefish Bay High School, Franklin High School.
No. Whitefish Bay High School is in a different municipality
as
is Franklin.
Okay. I mean, there's, you know. Sounds like you're building a lot of flagpoles and light poles.
One of the things that I don't know if this is correct, you can tell me, you do attach your facilities to existing structures, do you not? Like church towers, for example?
It's possible to do that, yes. You can, depending on the composition of a church steeple, for example. It could be within a steeple or it could be on top if a church allows. It can't be within metal because then it won't work. So if it's a copper steeple, it's not feasible at all. I don't think there's any reasonable dispute about whether the evidence was substantial enough to support the denial. It was unanimously in support of granting the conditional use, except for a few of the aldermen who were, one alderman in particular questioned whether the city needed to continue to adhere to a federal law that had been enacted a few years ago, indicating what I think turned out to be the city's general hostility to towers in general, but there was no...
You say these are aldermen?
They're planning commissioners, some of whom are also aldermen.
They double as aldermen.
Exactly.
What's the zoning process in this case? You went to a plan commission, and then where?
And then we appealed it to the
Board of Zoning Appeals.
Board of Zoning Appeals, and from when the Board of Zoning Appeals affirmed the Planning Commission's denial, we went to the United States District Court.
We're just like any county court.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I guess there are words missing at page 52, but the mayor says, we have the Verizon Tower at the Riverland Road location at Beautiful Savior was tabled, and to take any action, we first need to remove it from the table, and then the body can do what it wishes. What's the Verizon Tower at the Riverland Road location?
The church's address is on Riverland Road, so she's referring to the application for the flagpole installation at Beautiful Savior Lutheran Church, which is located on Riverland Road.
So there isn't another... Okay, I didn't understand that.
What she was saying here, they had a very long discussion about the application before officially removing it from the table, which really should have happened at the beginning of the meeting. So I think in this particular quote, the mayor was just taking care of some housekeeping.
Oh, okay.
Procedural housekeeping. There's only one application at issue on Riverland Road.
Okay.
It's the same. My time has run out. If there are no further questions from the panel, I will sit down.
Thank you. Mr. Brainfield, your time expired, but you can have a minute for rebuttal if you'd like.
Your Honor, I just wanted to follow up on a few brief points. Counsel for Verizon, I believe, indicated that the local land use law does not relate at all to the coverage level. I would disagree to the extent that the installation criteria do certainly speak to the ability of the provider to provide wireless services. Basically, it expresses a preference for co-location so long as the services can be provided. I think most of the testimony regarding interference and the other issues beyond coverage basically do not ever contain the kind of conclusion that one would want that, you know, interference would occur. It is always stated as interference could be a problem, interference may be a problem. I think that the record does reflect a concern about other entrants into the market in terms of the city's concerns, late entrants into the market. There's some discussion about first, second, third, fourth wave of providers, changes in technology. And I think it's important to look at cases like, in particular, Agutter, decided by this court, Judge Wood. Basically, that case involved a stated policy of the city of Delafield that said that it would not allow a tower in a residential area. And the court not only upheld that, but upheld it as a basis for a denial.
Yeah, but this isn't a residential. It's not zoned residential.
That's correct, Your Honor. But I think that there certainly are parallels that can be made to that case and to that analysis in terms of having aesthetics as the backdrop for your preference for siting a wireless tower. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much to both counsel. Next case.